This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Ong, and you are listening to I Love KL, the show that brings together the stories of the people from our capital city. My partner in crime, Shifa Situ, is currently enjoying herself in Tokyo. But not to fear, we have a nice lineup of stories in store for you. This week, we're going to be exploring a topic which is much talked about, but we can't seem to get enough of. We speak to the people who make our city a colourful one.
A lot of that comes from the fact that he's a really, really good storyteller. He can scribble and people still get a sense of how the story is supposed to go.
I wouldn't say photography is dying art because phone photography itself is a photography.
It's difficult for us artists to keep pushing original ideas when they keep getting rejected.
Are they just a lame snapshot? If it is a snapshot, then what makes it different? Must be something interesting.
It's the physical labor that people do not see.
Our first story this week is about mural paintings. This form of art is hotly debated, especially in Penang and Johor, where paintings by Ernest Zakharovich has become somewhat an iconic spot for tourists and locals alike. Adeline Chung investigates murals with Hayes Long, who founded a team called Art Misfits, and they've done a 3D mural exhibition right here in KL.
From a makeup artist to a web developer and now a mural art expert, Hayes Long is not your typical artist. She's a well-known artist that specializes in web designing, makeup, and wall graffiti. Hayes Long is one holistic artist that specializes in both live art as well as digital art. Hayes spearheaded the 2080 project, which featured 80 pieces of wall art from 20 artists, including herself. The project was 3D mural arts painted onto walls and looked absolutely amazing. Sounds like a lot of work, but little did they know that art could be a platform to promote and gain the recognition they deserve. Hayes explains why she chose art over other industries.
I prefer art compared to all the other industries because I've tried many other things like photography and web development. I think that I was in a very stressful kind of life at that time, so when I do art, I feel calm and peaceful, and I feel like that's a good way to live, you know.
Hayes experimented in many mediums, from sketches to painting. But is it better being a jack of all trades than specializing in one?
I find it hard to specialize when I've tried so many other things because I've been working on commissioned work for so long, right? And I don't have my own distinct style. So it's hard to specialize, especially when you know how to use different type of mediums and styles and whatchamacallit. So I think that is a challenge to, you know, actually find something that is uniquely my own next time, yeah.
Art can be a tedious job, and it's not easy to find a job that you enjoy doing every day and every night. As for Hayes, she's one of the privileged few who has such a job. But is it all fun and games?
It's the physical labor that people do not see, because when we tell our pricing, it's usually 4 digits or 5 digits, right? And people be like, oh my God, I can't justify that, it's expensive. But every single time when they see us work, they finally understood why we charged the way that we did. It was hard labor. We clean, we go up the ladder up and down, and then sometimes we get into accidents, the paints fall, and then we actually have to balance holding paints and brushes and then walking up the stairs up to the highest level and things like that, and scaffolding, sky lift. So it's pretty much a cross between art and construction. So it's actually very dangerous, and when we are there, there's nothing glamorous about it, even though we usually get publicity quite easily. So they only see that side.
Hayes spearheaded the 2080 project, which featured 80 pieces of wall art from 20 different artists. Each artist had to paint 4 distinct and original 3D murals.
We were initially contacted to produce the project and to gather all the 20 artists to create 80 murals. But because it was branded in a way that they call it 2080, we need to have 4 murals done by a single artist that is distinct enough for the people to see that, oh, it is this artist that did this. Mm-hmm. You know, so the approval of the mock-ups was it was kind of difficult for us because, of course, the clients wants to see the best artwork of all because they intended for the murals to go viral, you see. Yeah, and it's 3D, so it takes twice as long and twice as difficult, and it was exterior, so it was raining all the time. We were there for about, like, 2 months, and we experienced everything there.
There's a common perception that graffiti art is vandalism. Take, for example, the Lego mural at Johor Bahru, which had a great message, but still created an uproar among the community.
I think that for a country to be successful, let's take a look at the example of maybe Korea. They started out right after Japan did. So they actually started exporting their art culture out, like their TV dramas, their cartoons, their music. And because of that, people buy into the culture worldwide, and they started buying the products more. So in a way, it increased the country's GDP by a lot. So I think that what Malaysia needs to understand is that because we have a culture of adopting other people's current culture and trends, and we don't create our own trend, we are afraid to do so. So it's difficult for us artists to keep pushing original ideas when they keep getting rejected. And by the way, the 2080 3D murals thing, they are from Ernest, the one who did it from Penang, right? So we are just stepping on the trend. But we have our own trend, we have our own original ideas as well. But we just need the citizens, the people in Malaysia to, you know, trust in us, you know.
Art in KL has been on the rise, with the more and more art spaces popping up. But where does Hayes see the art culture in the future?
I'm happy that it's improving. I'm really, really happy that it's improving, but that it could improve a little bit more. I think that the local artists in Malaysia would benefit a lot if they were to explore a little bit more outside of their boundaries. Yeah. So, and maybe raise the value a bit of our art in Malaysia, because when the locals see local art, they instantly walk past it. The locals here are always more attracted to the Western culture, to the foreign culture, you know. So I think that we got to try a lot harder. We got to try a lot harder to prove to everyone, to all the Malaysians that, you know, we can do it, you know. Just maybe not today yet, you know. But in our generation, definitely we'll be able to do it, yeah.
You can check out ArtSphere 2080 3D murals done by Hayes Long and other talented artists, which is still going on at the Atmosphere, Sri Kembangan.
You're listening to I Love KL, the show that brings together the stories of the people from our capital city. And here in KL, we see many forms of art, from paintings to plays. But this week, we move on to something not quite like large murals, but we explore photography with Ashraf Sharuddin, who's the judge and organizer of the KL Photography Festival, which is due to run in September. Mninda Kaur has the story.
What are some of the aims of the festival?
We try to cater a various range of photographers who came from different backgrounds, enthusiasts, hobbyists, professionals. Pretty much on KLPF, we're going to have different sections. We're going to have section where manufacturers are going to sell and exhibit their latest invention, their latest products. They are giving a good bargain, offering a really cool package or discount, okay, for the visitors. On the other part, we have photography talk, where professionals are going to come in and share their mind and thoughts of their own photography to be shared and to be implemented by some who feel like they are really into it.
So basically, the idea of the photography, the festival itself, is more of a sharing of knowledge rather than anything else.
This is what Kim Teo tried to project from this KLPF, because we are trying to develop the photography industries in Malaysia. Meanwhile, we also try to develop the movement of photography in Southeast Asia as well, by having international photographers to come in and join the KLPF and put their knowledge in the festival.
And when you say develop photography in Malaysia, what do you mean by that?
We are looking at two separate sections here. First one would be the industry itself, the manufacturers, retailers, and the other one is photography as a movement of arts. We are really happy with the industries because they are doing really well. The brands are really happy with the markets. Buying power is really good. But at one point, at one end, we have to make sure that the art form are balanced out with the industry so that the development are well parallel and complement each other.
What is your opinion on photography as an art form?
Photography is an art form if you look at it from the content, because photography is just one of the medium to deliver the message. It is in the same group as painting, sculptures and whatnot. It's just that the medium that being used is photography, that's all. We can see artists, painters, they start to try out photography as their new medium. Painters like Peter Chin, for example, recently, last year, he came up with a series of photographs, which come to a surprise. It's really rare to see artists that taking photography as a form of medium because they are used to painting. But it's a good sign, telling that here in Malaysia, we start to accept photography as a form of art.
How do you then define a photographer?
There's a two different meaning when it comes to photographer. First, it can be a real, actual photographer, or it can be a camera owner. Photographer is someone that really put a understanding in whatever they want to deliver. The construction of the images, they put a tremendous amount of thought in their structure elements, visual elements, and technical elements in their photograph. So when I do a judging process, things that we see is how much amount of effort that being put into that pictures. Are they just a lame snapshot? If it is a snapshot, then what makes it different? Must be something interesting by looking at the whole structure of the images. If it is a plan shot, what are the process that these photographers have gone through in making that pictures a successful one? A real photographer, I would say, someone that put a huge amount of effort in constructing the whole images. These images are just not something normal, even though common people might see it as something normal, but those who involve in arts will see it something different.
Is photography a dying art, especially in light of things like camera phones and Instagram? I mean, is it still a relevant art form?
I wouldn't say photography is a dying art, because phone photography itself is a photography. Whatever things that evolve, lights, is still photography. I can accept submission from a phone cameras, no problem, as long as they have a really strong content they want to deliver. At this point where the margin or the difference between the camera phones and the actual cameras is so little, so we can see how the movement of photography evolved to a certain level where mobility is something matters. People can actually take photographs without being noticed by the subject itself, which is they're going to bring a different approach. They're going to have much more interesting subjects, something different, right? Unlike 10 years ago, we have bulky SLR cameras. Definitely, the subject going to be intimidated by this equipment. And these days, when camera phones have evolved to a certain level, the quality is exceptional. I can say camera, whatever type it is, phone, SLR, mirror system, it's just a matter of tools. Then again, we come back to the content. What are the content that you want to deliver? That's the most important thing when I'm looking at submissions.
So in your opinion, what makes a good photograph?
At one point, photography is a form of responsibility. It's no longer a business, okay? It's not about the money. We photographers, we have to think of what we're going to leave on this earth after we die. We have the photograph. But how much that photograph can be appreciated is a different story. You need to set your mind, take photography as a form of responsibility so that it can benefit the rest of the world, if not your country. We have a lot of street photographers these days. They are not realizing that they are actually documenting the history in the making. In 50 years, Kampung Baru, Kuala Lumpur might be turned into something different. So the photograph that they have took, even though they don't have that intention of recording it as form of history, at one point, they have to know that they are actually documenting a recording history, and they are the history itself in the making.
As a parting thought, of course, the KL Photography Festival is actually open for submissions right now. So how can someone submit their photos?
They can log on to www.klpf.com.my and they can submit their pictures to info@pcp2u.my.
You're tuned into the show that's all about the people and places of our capital city. And this week, we're dedicating a whole episode to the different kind of visual art forms in KL. Our next story is one that's pretty close to my heart.
I think comics are awesome. They tell stories in ways that a lot of other mediums just can't.
That's all coming up in a bit. This is I Love KL, BFM 89.9. You're listening to I Love KL, and this week we're exploring visual art and the future of the industry in our beloved city. Now for another form of visual art that played a big part of my childhood, something we can never get bored of, we explore the comic culture here in KL. Ali Johan speaks to Jared Cheer, who's from the Comic Arts Festival, and he's also the coordinator of the Sequential Art Youth Society, which is a volunteer-run non-profit organization.
You guys started in 2009, but it's the first year that you have done the Comic Arts Festival.
Kuala Lumpur, that's correct.
What was the initial aim for this?
There was a few. We knew for the longest amount of time that the comics industry in Malaysia was actually growing, and it needed really a dedicated event. It deserves a dedicated event to actually, you know, basically highlight and bring out interest in comics as well. The problem ultimately in the comics industry, at least within Malaysia itself, is that it's very fragmented. The sad part is we are very divided by our language. Publishers, whether we like to or not, the market is divided by language. We have the Malay industry, which is dominated by Ujang and Apo and even Gempa. Then the Chinese have their own line of comics. I'm not going to embarrass myself by rattling off names that I can't remember exactly. The English-speaking ones go online. So I'm not saying that there's no overlap, but the problem is because the communities are so sparse and not so separated, right? Very few actually talk to each other. And because of work and everything, it gets harder and harder. So part of what KFKL wanted to do was that we want to bring people in so that they get to talk to each other for once. You know, you go like, hey, how's the Malay comics doing? What's cool for you guys? What works for you guys? And then the Chinese guys can go, hey, you know, what works for our side? And stuff like that.
And I think this all culminates to the festival after years of doing the Comic Fiesta.
Yes, that's correct.
Right, and you guys have sort of built this this name for yourselves as the Kuala Lumpur Comic Art Festival, a place for people to come to, right?
I like to think that, but I'm not sure how that true is. That it feels very much like blowing my own trumpet on that note. But Comic Fiesta has been around for a while, and I do think that at some level, Comic Fiesta has contributed to a growing interest in animation, comics, and games.
Yeah. How is it different from a Comic Con?
Well, okay. Depends on who you're asking. A lot of people do think that Comic Con has gone increasingly, you can't see me do this, but commercial.
Quote unquote.
Yeah, quote unquote commercial. With like more emphasis on actually movies than anything else. I do understand that Comic Con has a lot of booths and a lot of artists, but it's really, really, really hard for people to get booths at Comic Con nowadays. And with a limited amount of passes and things like that. KFKL is definitely very different in that aspect. I mean, we are a startup event, so the scope is definitely a lot smaller. We are in Malaysia, and as I mentioned previously, we got lost because they are coming in from a very local perspective, because there is a local context and flavor to think about when you're doing comics. Now, here's the thing. Now, one thing that I think I would like to highlight more than anything else is we actually work with the Eastern side of comics a little bit more. We actually have a working relationship with the Asian Comicers Association, if not my memory serves me right, which is basically some of our associates from Japan came over. They brought a couple of experienced comic artists over, and they actually do demos. They taught techniques in how they draw comics over there and exposure to the industry over there.
Right. Yeah. Can you draw parallels to their style, you know, the Japanese style of comics to the Malaysian style?
Malaysia is very unique in this way, where if I was to draw a parallel, it only applies to at least maybe half the people. Yeah, because we actually have influences from both Western and Eastern sides. I mean, just to rattle off a few names, Alan Kwa himself is drawing for DC. He drew Batman and all the kind of things. And he follows a very strong Western style where you see them using pencils first, then inking, and then hand this over to, they base it off a script, sent over to them. While on the other hand, Eastern comics might not follow this kind of rule.
Yeah, for sure.
Some do still work with stories and, you know, penciling and art. But I think there is definitely differences involved.
Well, there's a clear fandom for, you know, DC comics in Malaysia. I know a lot of people, at least people I know, who are more inclined to read the Western side of products, right? But it's great that you are also tying yourselves up with the Japanese and the Chinese. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think one of the clear messages from the Comic Art Festival is to celebrate the diversity behind the art of illustration and comic making, right?
Exactly.
But you guys also focus on the related fields to comic art. What are these other things?
We have notes like things like animation, bits on animation, bits on games. I think we had one exhibitor who came in with their own games, actually, in fact. Mm. These days, comics is seen very often as to some degree, a precursor for multimedia publishing, so to speak, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. I'm not quite sure of the term to use, but on that one. But it's like how you see Batman has his own movies nowadays, then there is Arkham Asylum, which comes out with a game. If an IP for a comic actually hits strong enough, there's actually a lot of possibilities to expand. And we have things like even like merchandisers, things like, you know, fan-made badges and paraphernalia like that as well.
Right. So those are the other things that you could find. You know, how to make it or...
Well, okay, we don't focus on so much on how to make it. We have a limited time, unfortunately. We are an event-based, a physical event. So mm-hmm. what happens is that our stage have limited slots.
Right. Would you... or did you guys sort of... recommend the punters to go on their own and, you know, discover more if they wanted to?
Not so much. We would like to do that, but we don't actually hold that strong or proactive role, regrettably, mm-hmm. Onto trying to encourage people to do more comics.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned how we have got a nice mix of East and West in terms of comic styles. Mm-hmm. What's most popular in Malaysia and why do you think so?
Currently, I would say the Eastern styles are actually more popular for a lot of reasons. One of them is because a lot of us grew up with the Eastern influences, more about availability than anything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just put it this way. If I was to line 100 random bookstores right in front of you, like side by side, you know, everything from the Indian mamak hairdressers, guys who put books on their, you know, hanging there from the walls and things like that, to the more serious ones, things like, you know, Borders and mm-hmm. MPH mm-hmm. and Kino or something. You would see more Eastern-influenced comics than anything else. Mm. You would see Doraemon hanging from the Mamat stores.
Yeah, right.
You would see Master Q hanging from some Chinese guys' bookshops.
Yeah, I remember Mutiara Naga.
Exactly. Was that your first? Because I think mine was Doraemon.
Doraemon, definitely Doraemon. Yeah. All 36 copies of it, I think.
That's actually 44.
Wow.
That's actually
right.
44.
I must have missed out on the other 8. 6.
Yeah.
And you're right. Kinokuniya has an extensive corner for Eastern comics, right?
Yes, there is. Translated and from India original languages as well. But as I said, it's more about... one part of it is actually because of availability. We are heavily influenced based on that.
Mm.
After all, you draw what you see.
Yeah.
There's also another problem about picking up the skills necessary. I'm probably saying this wrong, but generally, a lot of anime styles tend to be easier to accomplish. I'm not saying that you don't need a proper study of form and structure and storytelling to draw anime style, but it is easier to pick up than, say, Western comics, which is requires a heavier hand in detail and things like that. This is a very personal thing. And if any, you know, anime lovers out there take offense to that, I do apologize.
Well, yeah, to each his own, right?
Yeah.
Well, see, Jared, comic art has come a long way. Back then, the great Dato' Lat, right?
Yes.
He was getting paid $1.40 for his comics.
Yeah.
How many comic artists are making a career out of it now?
Sadly, not as much. The sad truth is that, as I mentioned earlier, the market is very heavily divided. If you publish in Malay, it becomes a problem to try and get the Chinese readers.
Mm.
Sometimes what works for a Malay community or a Malay-speaking crowd does not necessarily work for English-speaking crowd.
So by this, do you mean the subject matter of their drawings or is it the style that people are not really into?
It's a bit of both. I can't really put my finger on it without pulling references, which I really can't recall anywhere at this point. But it does matter to some degree. There are a lot of publishers a lot of artists right now that actually moved away from doing more serious titles because the effort put into it is doesn't pay as well.
Yeah. So it's still a freelance gig at this point of time, mostly?
For most. Mm. There are some. I mean, Gumpak does have a few full-time, you know, comic artists under their wing. They draw wonderful, wonderful work. But for most people who do like comics in general, they don't. A lot of them can't find themselves in that position where they can treat it as a full-time gig.
Right. Do you still draw yourself, Jared?
Not as much.
Okay.
For the same story reasons.
What is a good comic to you then?
I have to say that first impressions do count, but after that, it's really about pacing.
Mm.
I mean, I'm going to give a very good example, which is, there are two examples I love to give, which is, one is Naoki Urasawa. I don't know whether you're familiar with him. He drew comics like 20th Century Boy, Monster, and things like that. He's one of the first few comic artists I've picked up where whenever I introduce this to friends, I keep giving them this warning that if you're going to pick up one of his titles, spare 3 days and to do nothing else, because you can't stop putting it. You just can't put it down.
That is a commitment, man.
Yeah, it but it's insane. It is that good. Because I've never used the phrase page turner as well as that before. Yeah, it is that good.
Right, right.
Another good one I would like to reference would be actually refer to is Togashi, actually. He's the artist for Hunter x Hunter and Yu Hakusho. I probably heard of that one more. Yeah. He's known in the community for a guy that actually like does, you know, blank out a bit on comics and missing, stopping for periods of time.
Mm.
But his fan base is still very, very strong despite all that. And a lot of that comes from the fact that he's a really, really good storyteller. He can scribble and people still get a sense of how the story is supposed to go. And people still can get emotionally connected with the characters in just very, very short few frames.
Right.
So it's done very, very well.
So, you know, this kind of conversations and detailed explanations, do you get this a lot at the Comic Art Festival?
Yes, we do, actually. There was some emphasis on techniques more than anything else. We did talk a lot on, I mean, at least on the stage, we did talk a lot on the state of the industry, as I mentioned, and look at techniques more than anything else, comparatively between the international scene and locally, just to basically foster a better understanding of how it's like.
Definitely.
But at least on the booth-to-booth level, there was a lot of discussion. I did catch over here a lot of discussions on at least like, you know, preferences in storytelling, preferences in art, preferences in style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, where would you like to see the comic art scene go to in the future?
Well, I would like it very much for it to be able to mature enough that it would be able to sustain on its own. I think comics are awesome. They tell stories in ways that a lot of other mediums just can't.
Mm.
It's regrettable that the industry actually has to be divided by three, but it's also understandable. People will read what's more comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would like to see is that it becomes matured enough, right, that despite all this, comic artists, being a comic artist can still be a favorable profession for people who can. Yeah,
right.
That'll be really, really nice.
What about integration?
I personally don't think integration is a great idea. I think variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if everyone drew like Marvel comics, even the West, even in America, people get bored of it.
Yeah,
they look for variety. In fact, in Japan itself, from what we've heard, they are actually looking for variety as well. People are trying to step away from the usual, you know, they call it the shonen formula, the ones that we are familiarized thanks to Dragon Ball, Mutiara Naga.
Mm.
The ones that goes beat up a rival, he becomes a friend, he joins you for the next beat 'em up, and you know,
that's a classic, that one.
Yeah, exactly. So it's actually a formula on its own to some degree. So because of what that has caused, I mean, it's a very standard formula, so some people use it a lot. But no matter what, people are still looking for variety. Mm. So I don't think integration is a great idea, and style is definitely not a great idea, because style is very personal. I think it's very much like how you have Picasso, you have, you know, Rembrandt, and so on and so forth. Different comic artists actually will feel more comfortable and with different styles, and it is an expression. You have to understand it is still an art form.
But also, I mean, what, touching on the point that you made about the scene being divided, how do you think it will, you know, how do you bridge the gap? Or how would you?
Translations would probably be a good way. I would start from there. I mean, look, we started reading Mutiara Naga. It was originally in Japan, of course. But the original English translation was Dragon Ball, and which eventually became Dragon Ball Z. Then after that, the Chinese version is Qi Long Zu. The fact is, despite all the languages, we all know it.
Yeah.
So that's one way to start. I'm not sure how keen publishers are towards doing this, partially because I believe there are a lot of concerns, things like penetration, whether it's worth the, you know, investment.
Yeah.
I think with the digital media, it might actually ease up a little bit. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's brilliant. Thank you so much for talking to me, Jared.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Alright, we have come up to the end of the show. Do send us your thoughts at weekend@bfm.my or tweet us at BFM Radio. And remember, if you miss any part of the interview, you can download the podcast, which will be up at www.bfm.my. Tune in again next week for another story from our capital city. This is I Love KL on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.